It is seven.
Are you okay that they, we put them in our folders together?
Yeah, they can all go to her.
All right, we're gonna unmute, then Colleen will give her overview, and then we'll continue.
So it is 7:55. The city council met with staff to discuss union negotiation strategy. Staff understands the direction and will move ahead with the unions in pursuit of settling the contracts.
All right, that brings us on to topic number 2.4 on topics of discussion, which is discuss council member compensation.
Thank you, members of the council and the mayor. Brian, if you want, I can take it since I have all my notes. All right, so there's a lot of information on the cover page of the case. It's because we talked about this back in 2022, and it was determined at that time that no change would be made, even though the council was significantly behind in comparable cities' compensation. And then it was discussed again in April 14th, 2026, and there was interest potentially in adjusting council member compensation, but the new data was not available. It is available now. It is attached to your case. The city's ranking on council member compensation is summarized in the third paragraph of the case. And it states that the city ranks 32 out of 34 reporting cities, both on the mayor compensation and council member compensation. Only two cities pay less than Ramsey, and that is Forest Lake and Otsego. Otsego does provide some additional compensation that is not reflected in their wage. For example, their council members get $3,600 a year, and their mayor gets $4,200 a year, which is less than City of Ramsey's council members. However, in Otsego, just as a comparison, there's little caveats with each city, so I'm pointing this out. They get $45 for a special meeting, $75 if it goes over 4 hours. They get payment $75 for half-day workshops, $150 for workshops or seminars or conventions that they go to. Another caveat, for example, the city of Elk River, it's noted on the handout. They pay $500 a year for their acting mayor, and I think it was around $1,100, it's not jumping out at me, for members that serve on the EDA. So the city of Ramsey is quite low. It has continued to be quite low. And we don't pay council members or the mayor for attending special meetings. It did come up the last time we talked about this regarding some cities paying health insurance. At the city of Ramsey, we offer health insurance, but it is at council members' own cost. I sent out a poll because the league survey was not clear on what those numbers actually meant that were provided. And I got one response. City of Winona covers their council members' insurance as if they were a full-time employee. I'm not sure that's something this group is really interested in, but I did want to close the loop on it. Councilmember Riley, I know at one point you were interested in knowing about median wages.
I saw that.
That is in there for everyone to view. So council member pay, the median difference is $2,700 a year, and the average difference is $3,035. If you look, the city of Maplewood is at the very top of the list, a kind of a standout. They pay a lot, Maplewood does. And then on the mayor pay, median difference is $4,000 and the average difference is $3,732. And I think from a data perspective, that covers the numbers. State statute, there's language in the case about that, and our charter dictates that if you were to elect to make an adjustment to the compensation, it would be voted on now, but it would not be in effect until the new terms begin in January. Is that correct, Brian?
Correct.
Okay. With that, I'll stand for questions.
Questions? Dan?
Was the laptop figured in this at all, or is that kind of like...
It is not.
Just 200, well, 158 or so a year,
I guess. I think the reimbursement for a laptop every term is $800. It's not calculated.
So almost, I mean, it could almost be like another 200 if we thought about it that way, than a year of that.
Sure.
How big are they doing?
I'm trying to lose weight. What are you talking about?
Other questions? I hope there's questions.
Well, I don't have a question. I've got comments.
Comments,
definitely.
Well, absolutely, yes.
I'm sorry, questions and comments.
I had no questions. This is a good case and discussed it a bit before. In 22, last time it was brought up, I said no, I wasn't interested in that. Partly the fact, I guess, that I will be gone and this doesn't affect me. I wanted to revisit this for sure. The fact that council compensation hasn't changed in 20 years, and it hadn't changed in whatever 15 years before that. I think, you know, what else do we know of that hasn't gone up in 20 years? Nothing. I mean, and especially in the last few years, several years since COVID, everything's gone up a lot. We all know we're not doing this for the money, but being this far behind average or median, both as a council member and as a mayor, you know, it just doesn't feel right. No one's doing this to get rich. We all know that. But having it at least to the middle of these numbers, I think, makes a lot of sense. The fact that it hasn't been raised in 20 years, I'll just say, is proof that it needs to change. And like I said, it doesn't even affect me. So I mean, I'm doing it for the next guy or gal. And I just think it makes sense. Having us ranked 32 out of 34, you know, speaks volumes. You know, it's not that we're not close. We're not even in the middle. We're not even close to the middle. The only ones that we're beating is on Seagull, and they clearly aren't even trying. So,
I have a hotel at the water park, though. So that's
yes.
Maybe they get free passes. I will say Councilmember Olson had to run away for a family thing. I did ask him, and so obviously he doesn't have vote here, but just I wanted him to be represented because we mentioned, hey, try to be here for this. And then I had him tell Councilman Riley, so nobody thought it was just me. He said same thing, that, you know, not running again. The incident needs to be addressed and goes up. So that's unofficially his position. I just wanted to share that. He said it was okay to share it, just in case people are wondering where he lands on that, because I think being transparent is important. Other comments, if there's no questions? Yeah.
So, does it talk about how often they get food? Get the yummy food.
Didn't show up on the survey.
Love your face, dude. I really do.
I knew that was coming. So.
Daniel, I will be your second on the food if you have a genuine conversation about this.
If you just want to be compensated in food, we can do that too.
That's not bad. Actually, these dudes are probably not.
How big of you?
Just saying, that was the worst one ever.
Do you have a real comment, Dan?
That was a real comment. I mean, there's other things that, you know, you get benefits for. But yeah.
Yeah. Where do you stand on the pay scale?
Right. I don't think we need to increase it. It's not that dramatic. I know it's number-wise, it's really lowest, but I mean, amount-wise, it's not that dramatically different, and I don't think it's needed.
That's hard for you, huh?
All right. Kirsten, what are your thoughts?
I'm
going to force this vote here.
Let's vote. I don't know if there's any sort of...
We've got to come up with numbers before
are we okay with all consensus moving it up, if yes or no? And if it's yes, then we can talk about our number, I suppose.
Gotcha. I don't know. Just to say, let's throw out, I mean, like 10 and 12. 10 for
that's
council, 12
thinking.
For mayor.
Yeah.
That
I'm good with that.
That puts us slightly above the average, I think, for council and mayor is like right there, I think. Okay. So, I mean, well, right, but I mean... Mm-hmm. Let's throw that out as a discussion.
I'd be good with that.
All right. Sounds good. I don't have an opinion on this. I don't care either way. I just want everybody to know that that's a consensus, 10 and 12. It will go before the council. I will go out and just, I would hope that everybody, if you feel strongly about it here, you'll feel strongly about it there, because just so everybody knows, you know, it's the council giving themselves a pay raise. I think it's warranted. I think if you look at it, in 35 years, we've had one pay raise. So, just want everybody to be aware of that.
You can count on me for consistency.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
I think it's warranted. We all, this is a part-time job.
Right.
And we all, most of us at least, have multiple committees outside of this and spend hours and hours of time at those also. And the investment of time it took us to get into this seat, as well as to stay in it and to stay engaged with our community. None of us, like we said, we're not doing this obviously for the money. But the level of effort and knowledge we need to have and engagement that we need to have if this were to be, you know, an actual job, like versus like a civic duty, right? Like this, yeah, it's more than warranted. And people want people in these seats that want to, that are capable of doing this. And I think that sometimes the pay does play a role in that. As we discussed last time, that it could impede some people's choices to be here if they didn't think that they were getting compensated in some way. Because they may have to step away from work or you know, paid daycare or something. So.
Okay, I'll go real quick. I'll just be transparent. I'm more of a no, but I also recognize that that's just kind of me. My first term on the council, I didn't even take pay because I thought it'd be like, go for it, and then nobody cared. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'll just take pay and I'll spend it in Ramsey. But I don't want that position that I have to reflect future mayors and future council members. So I'll just be transparent. I just don't know where I'm landing on this yet. So I don't want everybody to think like, when it comes to the council vote, I don't know where I'm going to land. So just know that. I just want to make sure everybody else, if you're sure where you're going to land, that's good. So I will throw myself on the, I'm not decided, but it sounds like we have decided people enough to move forward, at least. Shannon?
I was just looking at it, like, when I see the check, I'm like, ooh, that is less than my grocery bill this month. That is an interesting number. That's how I'm coming up to, like, going, maybe we should be making enough to actually pay for our groceries if we're using that for groceries. So I think it's warranted in that department. Now, if you don't care, then I think we should just go to 10, so that way everybody's 10, and that'd be fine. And then maybe the 2 goes towards your
council
budget.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, that's an option.
I would be willing to personally go to 10 and put 2 towards the food budget and then leave it for 12 for the next mayor, because I don't want to, maybe, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we do outside of this as well, so I don't care. We could do that. We could figure that out on there. I'll donate. Or I'll just pay. Whatever.
You can break food for the work session. That would be the easiest.
Okay. Ryan's. I will personally guarantee you that
$2,000
post tax.
So I know we have guidance from the auditor on this.
Sure.
That complicates it a little bit.
Sure.
maybe it would be on your honor or off the record.
Yes, off.
On the record.
Oh, okay.
You guys make the simplest discussions sometimes the most convoluted.
You're welcome. It's one of my gifts.
9 o'clock. Why are we still talking?
All right. 10 and 12. Consensus.
Yeah.
All right. You have a majority of the council's consensus on that.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. We're getting there. Waterfront park security cameras.
That's me.
That's you.
Mayor and Council, thank you for the opportunity to talk to you about this topic. Before I dive into it, I do want to just say two things. First, when we talk about parks and problems in parks, I don't want this to be a negative discussion of parks, because I feel strongly that we have a great trail system and great parks in our city. Mr. Riverblood knows that because I tell him it frequently. My wife and kids and I enjoy them and love it. So this isn't about that. This is about making sure that's safe. The second thing is, I'm not here to, quote, sell you on cameras. I think my job is to make sure you're informed, and I'm going to do my best job to give you the view from my seat. Doing that, I realize that I have a different view than the citizens because I have a front row seat of how we use information we collect in the PD. And I know that that makes me more comfortable with the things that maybe the public would be comfortable with. I also want you to know that I don't just bring everything to you and just see what sticks. There's a lot of ideas, and I'm proud that our officers feel comfortable to go to the sergeants, to the captains, to me with ideas, but not everything comes to you. The reason I'm talking about it is I do feel it's important, and that's big picture. So this is a small discussion. It's a bigger discussion into where are we going in the future for cameras in the parks in general. Mainly our bigger parks, we have issues in the parks. We have vandalism. We have drug use. We have illegal dumping, things that happen, assaults, where it is helpful to have video. Currently, our approach is mostly responsive in nature, meaning we have two Arlo cameras. We got the first one in 2012. I was an investigator at the time. I asked at that time Lieutenant Keters if we could do this and have this portable Arlo. It's been a great tool, but it's low-quality video. We put it up after the fact, hoping we catch somebody. And it has helped us with cases to some degree. We also currently have cameras at Elmcrest Park. They're on the outside, and I believe there's one on, there may be one or more on the inside of that area where you can rent where the water fountain is and stuff.
Concession
area, thank you. And so those are fixed cameras. They're on a DVR, which means they record to a system on the grounds. We don't have access to view it. If something happens there, then we go there after. We grab the video, see if it captured it. So there's limitations. The concern was brought up to me through the rank of the new splash pad and having situations where having video would be beneficial, possibly as a deterrent, but also as safety for the citizens, helping us investigate crime. We looked at it more, looked at different options for putting up cameras. And the one option, which I don't ever want everyone to cringe when I say the word, but the one option that we've arrived at is through the brand Flock. So Flock Camera is who our current vendor is that does our license plate reading cameras. We have 8 of those in the city. 2 are specifically on the parking ramp, and then the other 6 are on roads. The discussion tonight is about security cameras, but I don't want to ignore the word Flock either, but I just want to make sure that everyone understands it's really 2 separate discussions. Flock is a brand that offers technology to help law enforcement, but security cameras in the park, we are doing now already in a version, and our request, or my request, is that we put 2 or 3 at the waterfront to be able to have the ability to have better than an Arlo security all the time. It's not cheap, but for the dollar value of the park, $3,000 a camera per year is also reasonable in some senses of being a force multiplier for us than having to hire people to, not that we would hire, but it's a night shift officer's job to patrol parks, and we all do it. And if you come into the park, say, at 2 a.m. and there's 20 people, you stop and you get out and you have a conversation. There's no red lights turned on. It's a human interaction. And some of the features of these cameras, they're called PTZ, so they pan, tilt, zoom. One of the features is called guardian mode. So it's an automated thing where you set it up and it can tell you when so many people arrive in the park. So it alerts you. Nothing happens with that, though. It's information. Just like right now, when a Flock camera gives us an alert of a stolen vehicle, there's no automated thing. It just gives an officer information that they then go and investigate, and then they use their brain to make decisions and have that human interaction. So if we put those in at the park, I know there's a concern that, okay, now whatever number we set it up at,
that many people arrive in the park, they're just watching the stars. And an officer now rolls up. That could happen without the camera. Their job, and my expectation, is that they roll through parks. Now, they don't get to all our parks every night, every hour. So what we're asking is a on steroids version, very efficient, and that could be alarming to the community. But still, you're getting a Ramsey officer that's arriving and just having a conversation. And it's not often people watching the stars. It's usually kids. They're usually up to no good. And it's usually good that the officer has arrived there and stopped something from happening in my experiences. The reason we're asking for Flock is because of the setup they have, the interface they have is easy to work with. It's pretty simple. I don't want to add another system, ideally, that they're having to log into and monitor from their laptops. So that's another reason. And then the Flock brand, I know this is a bigger discussion as far as cameras go, and I don't know how much we want to get into that tonight. But as far as the cameras in the parks that we're asking for, they don't have facial recognition. They do have the ability to search the videos that have occurred for things like orange backpack. So the same thing an officer could accomplish by watching hours of video can happen with a search. So they are using, just like they do for cars, which you've probably read in the news, is they are using technology to make a fingerprint of vehicles, per se, by roof racks or stickers in the back, that kind of thing. And my understanding is these cameras can do that as well. That is the ability, but there is no facial, there is no license plate reading ability. But for example, the spot that we've identified that we would want them at the park would cover the parking lot. So if a truck drove into the parking lot, it would move over there and record the truck. So it requires less cameras further out that can still kind of cover that area. There's a lot more I can talk about. I kind of want to dabble on the Flock thing a little bit, just briefly, and I don't want to, if you're not interested in going down that road, we don't have to tonight, but you never know what's true in the news. At least that's my perception. I see the things you guys see too about Flock. I read about them putting in for a patent for facial recognition. There's things I have of concern of overreach of police. And I'm trying not to get too much into my personal feelings of things, but I'll just let you know that I'm still human. I still have a 14-year-old daughter. And so I think about those things when we talk about putting cameras in a park. When I was assigned to the patrol division, when Chief Caters put me in there, and I started working on body cameras for the officers, at that time, then we added the Fleet 3, which is the squad cameras. They had the ability to do license plate reading in the camera. Now, we didn't turn on that switch, and we haven't, but the camera has the ability right now. And I was going down the road of researching it because I thought it was a good tool, because it takes officers type license plates their whole shift. So they're driving, typing plates their whole shift right now. And our whole careers, we jot down on our log or take a picture with our front camera when there's a car out of place. So we're kind of in a low level already documenting dates, times, places where things are. And so I'm working on this thinking this is a good tool to go down this road. And at that time, Axon is partnered with Flock. And Flock is who's hosting this front camera license plate reader. And I didn't care much about it. I just was working with Axon and thinking that we could add it on in that package. And then one day I get this email. It's two sentences long. And I'm not joking. It looked like a high school breakup. And it said, Axon said, we're no longer with Flock. And I wish I still had it, but it was weird. And so my job is to just notice weird things, file them away. That was weird. A year later, Flock's getting attacked for how they store the data themselves and that we access the data that they collect. And then shortly after that, Axon comes out with a solution to beat Flock. And I'm like, oh, that little thing in the back of my head comes forward and says, because Axon's a beast, as you guys know, they are. So I just wanted to share that little bit of my, I can not tell you what's true in the news, but I can tell you from my own experience, something weird happened, and then Axon came out with a product that costs about 30% more than Flock, and I know things happen that we don't all see. So, and maybe Flock has things that are issues, or they have in the past. Again, I don't know. I know as much as you guys on that, but I just wanted to put my experience in there as well for that, for some context.
So for clarification, for clarification, you're looking for consensus on security cameras in general, and then you'd be willing to take information on Flock? Is that what I'm hearing?
Mayor, what would be great is to get consensus if you and the council would like us to put security cameras in the waterfront this year. Okay. And it would be a small price because it's end of the year. And then we would be talking, we would talk about now or later of, we've identified three other parks that would be good candidates based on incidents that have occurred, and that's Central Park, Elmcrest Park, and Rivers Bend Park. And that would be something we would be talking about for next year's budget.
But regardless, it would be Flock in all cases. That would be the recommendation.
That's the recommendation now.
Okay. Chris?
Well, I appreciate you being sensitive and whatever, but in my mind, I don't think it's necessary. This is protecting our, in this case, brand new asset that, you know, we're all going to be very proud of. I fully support it. If you're suggesting it for other parks for the same kinds of reasons, I fully support that. I don't really have more to say.
Thank you. What else?
I think definitely for our water park. The water park has been an area where I have personally felt a very large concern for predators towards children, and I really do think having cameras there to grab the people that grab children or whatever, because I think this is very much a zone that we are dangling kittens and candy out there for other people. So I would like cameras. I don't know if I really love the Flock idea, but I guess we'll have to leave that up to all that. So that's where I'm at.
Thank you. Dan?
I guess I'd lean kind of similar to what Member Riley was saying. I mean, I think it's needed and I want to protect the asset. I mean, cameras are everywhere right now, so it's not really anything new.
Kristen?
Probably much to Lowell's chagrin, I've called him and talked to him for hours about this. Because I have been paying attention a lot to, I guess, what's happening in the southern part of our county. And I think a lot of people see the word Flock and it just gets, like, conflated between the two types of cameras. And it's, like, a term of art versus, like, its actual function. And so there's a lot of concerns about what it does. There's a lot of misinformation about what it does. And I believe in what you're saying is reasonable. And I think that I really like that you called out that, you know, that there's still the human aspect to these cameras, that they're not going to be functioning as, like, law and order on their own, that you guys will be able to use your best judgments to say, I typed in orange backpack, and it's not to be overly and unduly punitive on this person with an orange backpack. We'll still ensure that they get what they're supposed to be, you know, receiving as far as their rights go and what have you. I think that it's also very important that you kind of identified the, you know, the place in which the data will be stored. I think there's obviously a lot of concerns with children and being recorded and what happens to that. And some of these things, like the benefit just, like, outweighs the potential negative, right? It's of benefit to our community that we are able to have more eyes and ears or what have you, ability to look into things without, like you said, like, it wouldn't necessarily be a whole other police officer, but it's officer time. You know, instead of spending hours reviewing camera footage, you can find something quickly. And it's not facial recognition. It's not the same as our Flock cameras that do our, you know, review for traffic control, or, you know, that kind of nature. and it sounds like we have had very positive outcomes from the flock cameras that we do already have in our city. Haven't heard negative feedback to my understanding. So I am supportive of this. I think that it would be a good idea for us to have a larger conversation if we find that our citizens are interested. I once again haven't heard anything necessarily in our community, as has been maybe like what's happening down in the southern portion of the county. And nor do I want to start something that I don't find a reason to start. So if it's something that people continue to want to hear more about, I would love to have an information session or something. But it's always very good for us as council members to hear more if you're willing to offer it, in my opinion. The other thing is that I have also talked to Chief about the flock transparency portal, and I think that would be something that's important, separate from this camera situation within the park systems, but for the traffic portion, where people can review online how often that these cameras are being pinged and the data retrieval and what have you. Other cities like Stillwater do have these transparency portals, and I'm not sure if there's an additional cost to it or how that's ran or what have you, but I think it's, you know, at least if there are questions and people have somewhere to go to look at this and maybe feel some sort of comfort in that. I appreciate that you have mitigated a lot of the questions or concerns that may have arisen before we brought them to your attention, especially knowing that like none of us are subject matter experts in this area as you are. And so thank you, and you know, respect and value your opinion on this.
Thank you. Any other thoughts? I'm supportive of the cameras, and I think we'll be talking a little bit more about flock. I don't have concern regarding our police department at all, and I think it's great that we have security cameras. And I think something like flock that has a national database and thing like things of that nature, it's great. There's a missing kid, and this license plate read, and it pings and says this person's moving down this highway. That's the fastest way to retrieve a kid. I think that's great for local law enforcement purposes. As a small government individual, what concerns me is some of the discussions coming out about what agencies have access to it, where they store it, why paperless or no search warrants to grab that information. Those are the things that concern me, but I've seen other cities, other states implement their own local controls saying we can work with flock, but these are the parameters that you have to put onto your data. I'm not concerned about it in the near term, but I'll just be honest. I mean, there could be some time in 10 years where every city, you know, and it also becomes very interesting where we're all living under a gigantic surveillance net. And I know I sound like I'm kind of going a little crazy here, but the fact of the matter is, it is important to make sure that we have local controls on the information that happens within our city. So for the police department to say, this license plate's associated with suspicious behavior, so is this person, that's great. The federal government can use the same cameras to look for things without a warrant and things of that nature. That's where my concern is. But immediately, I support it. We'll talk more about it. But it would be... Nobody should be surprised if I come forward with some ideas of maybe what we can do to centralize control and retain some of that data ourselves versus it going to everyone and anyone. Kirsten?
And I know that Chief Blummel will more than likely bring this to our attention in the future, but that is one thing that I was excited about when I saw the transparency portal, because that is something that you can put on there as like what your acceptable use policy is, as well as what networks you're sharing that data with. And, you know, like the access policy, hot list policy, things like that, where we're able to then provide information to our citizens on how we are as an individual entity protecting that information from people that maybe we don't want it to go to. And I think it's great to have the ability to share it with other departments as you follow it, because it needs to be like, you know, pings in this city and goes to the next city, right, if you're tracking things. But there are potential limitations that we do want on that, which I recognize also. So I agree with you, Mayor Heineman, and, you know, hope that we, as we are getting more cameras, work on getting one of these transparency portals.
Yes, and that would be great. I'm just a little suspicious of Flock's transparency portals. It's like your Amazon mute button. It's like, I turned the switch, it can't hear me. Okay. Just the switch is red now, so that's you know, so I'm not making accusations. I'm just saying it's something we should be cognizant of as we share our residents' information unintentionally with corporations that can do stuff with it, even if they don't say they are going to. But we want to protect people, so that's important to actually follow.
So I just took a couple notes on follow-up of your discussions that reminded me of some things I'd missed. But trust is important, and in our department, I have a high level of grace for officers that have their heart in the right place and make a mistake on something that's happening really fast. But I have no tolerance for someone that's going to abuse the trust given to them by our city and our residents. That's a 50-plus year thing that we've worked to gain, and they know that. Not that that could change, you know, if leadership changes and things change, but as of right now, we don't take your trust lightly. There are audits. The good thing about Flock is there's an audit log. We don't share. We share with Minnesota agencies and a little bit on the west edge of Wisconsin, just because of the ring of the amount of time a car could get there. We've never shared federally. It wasn't a choice. This is before ICE stuff. It just wasn't set up to share federally, so we never turned it on. Not to say that there's not some other way that maybe they're able to get that information, but we're not openly sharing it. And then our policy is online. The last page of the policy lists the locations of the cameras. We're not required to have that on there. We did that for extra transparency. We are required by statute to have that with the BCA, so we have it in two places, the BCA and on our policy. And then kind of going back to the parks real quick, in preparation for this and just trying to think about putting the cameras in the park, I did chat with the principal from the Anoka High School, Mr. Farley. He and the Anoka chief and I meet from time to time, and I was just asking him, what does he do with kids and cameras? And he keeps adding them just because they are an important tool for being able to protect his kids. And from time to time, there's a parent that may think that staff's just watching cameras and he just has to educate them that they don't have time for that. That's not what's occurring. And with Flock, the nice thing is that there's an audit. So if an officer's in there doing things, there's a reason they're doing it.
Yeah, I have full trust in it because we've heard the stories of an officer that misuses them and looks up their ex-girlfriend's plate number. I don't want to speak to everybody, but I don't think my worry is with that because I know your character and the character of the department, so it's not that. Mine is just like at some point information will be available at different levels to different people. But we can worry about that later. I just wanted to state that it's not something that's forgotten here. But and the other important thing is deterrence. You put cameras up there. And you mentioned there's people in the park, the police officers can go up there and check it out. Also, that could eliminate the park as somewhere they need to go, because if there's people doing great things and you see people playing bocce ball and having a great time, maybe the officer can go to a different park because they can see from that camera there's nothing nefarious going on, so it can free up resources that way as well. So there's lots of benefits to it. Okay. So there is consensus to cameras for the waterfront park. And then, did you bring up
also looking into the additional parks? Is that what you're looking for today?
That would be something we put in the budget
for next year.
Okay. So this ask is specifically for the waterfront to protect that investment.
Correct.
And the people that use it.
Correct.
Okay.
Kind of.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. All right. Topics of future discussion.
Next meeting's all budget.
So cool.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, the next 2 months worth of meetings, staff will generally plan for most, if not all, work sessions to dedicate for budget. You know, we'll probably pepper in a couple smaller, shorter discussions, especially if maybe the regular meeting seems like it's a bit light, but. It's budget season.
And we'll start with how much the TIF generated money is available.
We have that all prepared and identified as a potential funding source. So yeah, we have that. We have it broke down to that kind of one pager of new requests or larger line items that, you know, are a little bit bigger than years past and the reason why. We have a separate document for personnel requests, which, not to ruin surprise, it's smaller than the last few years. Same thing, capital, that sheet that we have for capital, kind of those nice summary pages. So, as always, if you want to come in and look at it and ask more questions in detail, I'm available. Diane is available. But we just got the kind of everything put together, handed out to department heads. We'll go through it and make sure that we're not bringing a really, really, really crazy first draft forward.
All right. Any other questions on that?
Real quick. The 23rd of July, I'll be out of the country. And I don't know if Mike will be available, but I probably will need someone to cover a planning commission for that time.
23rd?
Is Michael the alternate on that one?
Mike is the alternate, yeah. But he's family stuff going on sometimes. He's not available. So.
All right. We'll talk about that one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then, I think we are good to go. Anything else for the council? All right.
Oh, Dan?
Did you want to talk about the...
This is topical for a few of us. A resident talked to the minority of the council on this one. Candidate forum. I believe when I was running for mayor, the city hosted their own with the Metro, North Metros. Was it?
No, it was the
Chamber.
Metro North Chamber.
Chamber. Do we have any updates on that?
So, earlier this year, I posed the question to QCTV at a QCTV board meeting on do we want to continue to go through League of Women Voters. Quite frankly, their website shows some partisan approach to it. And my question really was generated following our strategic planning session with QCTV, where one of our main goals is to be a known, nonpartisan news source for the four local communities. Looking at that, that's what caused me to ask the question. There was some general interest to explore that or discuss it further. Unfortunately, we haven't had a board meeting since then. So we haven't had the opportunity to really close the discussion on that. We are into election season now, at least with, I believe it's July 9th, is a forum scheduled through QCTV using League of Women Voters for primary elections. I think from my perspective, we put the question out there, we still want to close the loop for the general at a minimum. Mayor, you referenced a couple years ago, there was a feeling at the time that the candidate forum shifted to such a way where they're closed to the public. They're held at QCTV studios, and it didn't provide the same context as years past that at least Ramsey council members enjoyed. So we hosted our own. We worked with Lori Higgins, the executive director for, I think it's Metro North Chamber.
Yeah.
She moderated it. We hired kind of a freelance, so to speak, through a QCTV staff person who knew how to run our equipment. They came in, ran the cameras. We hosted it here at City Hall. We own the video. It's on our YouTube, so that way, you know, should a candidate want to use it or piece it together, they could. Otherwise, QCTV copyrights their work. So, taking direction, if we want to do it again, don't quote me, but I don't even know if it was $500 worth of cost to hire the camera operator. Lori, specifically at the time, did not charge us. I think that's pretty commonplace for people willing to do moderating these type of events. So I guess any other questions, thoughts?
The primary coming up, I think the important thing is we talk about transparency and communication. The League of Women Voters Forum, great, I did it, I'll do it again if I ever need to, no issues there, but they do They don't allow any residents to show up. They film it in a closed studio. If we're going to talk about transparency, it's good to offer our residents a chance to be in the audience and ask questions like we did last time. So that's my opinion. Chris?
Well, what I heard about it, I'm troubled by the closed studio and not having people available and no questions and whatever. So whatever the city could do, which we've already done, to have it open, have it, you know, available here. We all know, everybody knows where City Hall is. Yeah. I like that idea.
Kirsten?
I think we should, like, communicate with QCT, or I guess League of Women Voters, QCTV, like, our... Is this a shifting ideology of having a closed studio? Because maybe that was like a post-pandemic decision and now we're super far away from it. Like maybe it's okay, maybe we can be open. And there are ways for citizens to put in questions. That's where the questions come from. It's not that it's just being dreamt up by someone. And so anyone has the opportunity to ask any sort of question. It's nonpartisan. They're not, the questions that are being asked are not being curated by the League of Women Voters. So I would want those questions answered first, and I would also want to know what the cost is. It wasn't quite $500 for the camera person, but how much does it cost to have city staff here, have the lights on? Like, I don't, and let's be petty about it, how much did it cost? Like, every city isn't doing this, and there's a reason, right? Like, League of Women Voters is supported by every other municipal race. I think we need to look into this before we decide to do this again and take this on ourselves.
All right. Consensus on having Ramsey host.
Okay. Is this for the primary as well?
Yes. If we can do it. I would just say
I feel like one was sufficient.
Let's regather consensus for the primary as well, if they can do it in the amount of time. No. Yes. No.
Yes. I would say just it gives more opportunity for people to share their views and for people to interact. So I don't see why not.
Okay, so for the primary, we have 3 yeses and 3 noes on consensus. So I don't know if that works.
You're tied, and we don't have another work session or so, other meeting until July 14th. But
so we're good for the regular one, then?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And if you could just bring a number back, that'd be great.
Okay.
All right.
I guess just follow it up there. From the board,
what's the reasoning that they want it closed? And
yeah. So what they said is they wanted a neutral location. The QVC TV would be a neutral location. That's kind of the thought they said.
As compared to City Hall.
Right. Supposedly the, again, I don't agree with this. The rumors that I heard was that the incumbent might be more comfortable in that scenario, so it's not really neutral ground. I mean, is that?
I think there was maybe a little bit of that. There's a little bit of just efficiency of staff working out of that place. I don't know if they try to do more than, like, if they're hosting one in Ramsey, they're only going to do offices that impact Ramsey, where over in QCTV, it's more centrally located for the 4 cities, and they'll do maybe more. I don't quote me on that, but I feel like they just, in general, felt like efficiency was a benefit. They did close the doors through COVID and left it that way. I don't know why.
I remember in my first one in 2019, I was running as someone on the school board as well, but we actually held everything in the school board. So there probably would be a neutral location still, but that's for our discussion, I guess. But I think that...
Well, I would just say my opinion is our board members should push against that.
Oh, we have been, but we will continue. All
right.
It's been amazing.
Sounds good. Well, we're adjourned. Thank you.